because without it, I am nothing. I need more of you, Jesus. I don't know why you're here, but I know why I'm here. I'm here because I need more of Jesus in my life. I need more of His power, more of His presence, more of His Spirit working in me. I need more of Jesus. And I'm thankful that whenever I'm in need, whenever I come to Him and ask, He is always faithful. He's always faithful. He never forsakes. He never leaves. He's always there. Whenever I come to my senses and realize what I truly need is more of Jesus. We just take a few moments, lift our hands, lift our voice. I don't know why you've come, but I hope that at some point during this morning service, you would look heavenward and say, Lord, I'm here because I need more of you. I need more of your Spirit in my life, Lord. I need more of your help, more of your strength, God. More of your power working in me, Lord. I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to remind you, if you have orders for the gift jars, please, we need all those order forms turned in, money's turned in by next Sunday. That way we can have all the orders filled by December the 13th. A lot going on here in the next few weeks, a lot happening here, part of this church, a gift jar fundraiser going on. Also, we have practice for the Christmas program. Those are involved in that, you know what that's all about. And also, I put it in the newsletter, but do want to make a formal appeal and request. We are excited. I know the Grimms are excited that they are moving here to Sandwich. And the move has begun. The trailers, there's a lot of stuff already in the garage at the home that they're closing on tomorrow. But we need any and all that can help us. If you have opportunity tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock to meet at their new home and help them unload boxes, put things in rooms, just kind of give them a good head start in moving into their new home. We would certainly appreciate any and all effort that we could get out of you to make that possible. The address is on the newsletter. It's in the Fairwind subdivision, and we're looking forward to having them here in close proximity to the church. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this church is going to benefit by that, and they're going to benefit as well by being closer. And so we want to make that possible for them. So any and all that could help us tomorrow at 6 o'clock at their location. Again, the address is in the newsletter. I believe it's 1006 Oak Bend Road, right? There we go. And so we're looking for it. Also want to say a big thank you. If you didn't look real close, you probably wouldn't know, but you probably do now if you go in the back and look up to the right, my right, your left. You'll see a new post that has been put in, but not only has that post been put in, but there's one on the other side that was put in. We had some issues with our railing being unstable, and Brother Al said, well, I can fix that. I can make a new post and put it in there. And so he did on this side a few weeks ago, and now he started on this one, almost got it done. And I told him, and so I'm not saying anything publicly, I didn't tell him privately, he does some quality work. I am impressed with his carpentry skills, and he asked me yesterday up here. He said, "Well, Brother Wells, is there other stuff that I can do?" I said, "Oh yes, oh yes." I want to say publicly, thank you, Brother Al. Thank you for your labor of love and doing that. God bless you. Along with the Christmas program that is happening, December the 12th, Saturday, and December the 13th, both at 6:30 p.m. During our Sunday morning service on December the 13th, 10 a.m., we will have our Christmas for Christ offering. And so that's always a special time. We invite you to come and be a part of that. Many of you have already taken pledge cards. Some of you have already turned in the money. We thank you for that. Just looking forward to how God's going to bless that and what we're going to be able to do as far as contributing to this great fundraiser for United Pentecostal Church International. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. There's a sweet presence of the Lord in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Draw your attention back to the first verse of our reading, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things. Everybody say better things. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I want to preach this morning on a simple subject, persuaded of better things. Persuaded of better things. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your precious holy name, God. We thank you for those who have gathered here, God. Lord, to find your spirit, your power, God, more relevant in their life, God, that they would open up and allow you to do the precious work that you would endeavor to do in our hearts and lives. God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Let us strengthen one another, encourage one another, that we would leave here uplifted in spirit, encouraged in heart, mind, and body. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. We lift you up and magnify your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Persuaded of better things. The main theme of the book of Hebrews, if you were to read it and understand what is written therein, you would quickly understand and come to know that the main theme of that book is better things. Jesus is made better than the angels, it says, that we have a better covenant through better sacrifices, and that now we have a New Testament that is established upon better promises, and now we have blood through Jesus Christ that speaks better things than that of Abel. The whole book of Hebrews, if you will, tells us and reveals unto us how much better it is to live in the New Testament, if you will. How much better the covenant that we now have and the testament that we live under than the testament of old. How that we, you and I, as recipients of being born in this day and age, that we are in a new dispensation, if you will, a better dispensation established upon better promises. And so the book of Hebrews constantly uses the word, if you will, better. It means more noble or stronger. It's trying to once again affirm in the faith and heart of believers that what we have in Jesus Christ is simply better. While this world attempts to fulfill their desires for something better by acquiring the latest and the greatest and the newest, and I know many of you, you've probably seen some of the images, the pictures and the videos of those as the holiday season came into full swing, and by swing I mean people swinging at one another, trying to get the best deal, trying to get something I saw one video where a grown person takes from the arms of a little child something, just rips it right out of the arms of the child. And I thought to myself, where in the world have we gone? That we would, first of all, take a child, to something, to a display of that magnitude. And second of all, that some adult that would have the audacity to reach down into the arms where the child has it in their possession and rip it from the arms of a child because it's something they want. I begin to think and I begin to wonder in my mind, how much further can we go as a society? How much more will we attempt to acquire and how much will we sacrifice in trying to get things that in the grand scheme do not really matter? I thought to myself, how many people don't even maybe even remember what they got last Black Friday, or how many people have already disposed of or already gone on to something new, and how many people in this world where they're trying to get something better, trying to find something better, how many of them look at what they got and realize there's already something else better? In this world in which we live, we need to be reminded that the church, even at its seeming worst, is still better than the world at its supposed best. I'm going to say that again. We need to be reminded that the church, even at its seeming worst, is still better than the world at its supposed best. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 37:16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. We need to be reminded that what is available in God is better than anything and everything this world has to offer. Somewhere along the line, we've got to be persuaded that being a part of the things of God, serving God, and living for God is simply better. Let's be real. I know it's often more difficult than it is easy. I know that. I realize this journey with Jesus is not always easy. I'm aware that many others have opted out for what their doubt and unbelief has convinced them is better elsewhere. But I trust that I am in the presence of some people who still believe for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's simply better. I don't care how many people are here or how many people aren't here. I'll tell you something. Being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning is still better than being on the golf course. It's still better than being out in the woods. It's still better shopping. It's still better. Even if the music ain't all right, and maybe we sing off key a little bit, and maybe somebody missed a cue, let me tell you something, it's still better! See, somewhere along the line, this living for and serving God stuff has to go beyond just being saved. That's why he said in Hebrews 6:9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things, catch this, that accompany salvation. It's not just being saved. This is more than just being saved and having salvation. There are things that accompany this great salvation. So full and free, there's things that you and I have opportunity to have through the better covenant made possible by better blood through Jesus Christ. There are things that you and I have that accompany salvation. And though thus we speak, though we talk a lot about salvation and we preach a lot about salvation, we need to be persuaded there's more to this than just being saved. I'm persuaded that being delivered is better than being addicted. I am persuaded that being healed is better than being sick. I am persuaded that being restored is better than being broken. I am persuaded that being reconciled is better than being divided.
I'm persuaded. Not just about being saved, not just about repenting and being baptized in His name and receiving the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. I love those things and I'll continue to preach those things. Though thus we speak, I will continue to preach it and tell it. But there's something else we need to understand. When Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and began to preach, he did not stop with Acts 2:38 and 39. But the Bible says, with many other words, did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's more than just salvation in God. There's deliverance, there's healing, there's help, there's restoration, there's reconciliation, there's power to overcome this world. Temptations of sin, there's more than just salvation. There's better things that even accompany salvation. There's better things. If it was just salvation, guess what? It would be enough. If it was just salvation, it'd still be better than any and all this world has to offer. If it was just saving me from this world of sin and me making heaven my home, it would still be better. But guess what? There's things that accompany this salvation. There's deliverance and power and help. Say, well, I just wish I was more appreciated for all the effort and all the work I put in, Pastor. It would be nice to have some recompense and reward. It would be good to feel like my labor's not in vain. It would be good sometimes to finally see the result and the fruit of what I put into the ground. It would be good. Might I draw your attention to verse 10 of our passage? For the Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed forward in His toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hey, people might neglect to notice, and others might easily overlook the labor of love, but you need to understand something this morning. God doesn't miss a deed. God sees everything. You even give a cup of water in a prophet's name, and it's noted in heaven. While this world easily forgets, and while this world easily overlooks, and while this world appreciates but for a moment, appreciation is so fickle. Their longing and their desire, their accolades and words of endearment, they fade so fast. It's got to be difficult for people who are in the limelight many times. What they must experience when one moment they're the hero, the next moment they're the zero. One moment they're praised and applauded, and the next moment they're booed. And the world is so fickle, and their appreciation is so circumstantial. But we serve a God who doesn't overlook. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Everything that you do does matter. How you help does make a difference. Others may have forgotten and passed you over, but God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Hey, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm a lot further from where I was. And I'm going to keep pressing, because better things happen by moving forward. And I know God has better things for me. I'm persuaded. That's why I keep doing what I do. That's why I hold on to hope, because I'm persuaded. Pastor, life's a trouble right now, and circumstances surround me. You just hold on to hope. You just keep believing. I've got a God of better things who says, hey, just hold on to me. What's coming around the bend is going to blow your mind. I'm a God of better things. So he goes on to say in verse number 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I looked at that and I thought about this. The writer of Hebrews did not say, and I desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. He made it collective. He said, and we desire. You see, there is a collective desire for your determination to hold on to hope until the very end. If you think anybody in this place, and you think for one moment the pastor that walks to this pulpit finds any pleasure in people walking away, or finds any pleasure in people turning aside, you are sadly mistaken. There is a collective desire in the body of Christ that says, hey, every one of you, show the same diligence. Just keep on keeping on to the full assurance of hope all the way unto the end. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep going in faith. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, just keep going. Guess what? There's a body of believers. There's a collective group that says, we got your back. We want to encourage you to go forward in God. God forbid that we would ever eat our own. God forbid that we would ever look at others and think, well, maybe it would be better if they just didn't come anymore. Oh, my God, I wish that we would understand there is a collective desire. It says, if you can't get help here, there's nowhere for you to get help. If you can't find strength here, there's nowhere for you to get strength. Here's where you need to be, in the power and presence of God. Because what God has is better. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I would to God. People who decide to live in sin, people who decide to do what they want to do and live how they want to live, somehow becoming convinced that that life is better, that that life tends to give them more of what they want. I would to God that they would understand, no matter what you're doing, no matter what sin you're involved in, no matter how alternate your lifestyle may be, no matter how much baggage you bring with you to the table, you need to understand that what God has for you is simply and undeniably better. And if you'll turn to God, your family will be better. Your life will be better. Your direction will be better. Your focus will be better. I can promise you on the authority of God's word, if you follow his word, it's better. Somewhere along the line, we've allowed society to pervert our thinking, to believe that their way and the way they think is somehow better or more conducive. And I would to God that we would realize we are raising a whole generation that is forsaking abstinence for what they feel is better in the moment, when they can't look at their spouse when they're married and say, you're the only one I've been with. It's better! It's better to teach young people, instead of contraception, to abstain from fleshly lust. Well, that means I gotta wait for a while until I find the one. I promise you, if you do, it will be better. Your marriage will be better. Your relationship will be better. You'll raise your kids better. If you follow the word of God, it is simply and undeniably better. See, we desire. It's a collective desire. It says, if you just hold on, if you just take the principles and the precepts of the Word of God and you apply them in your life. See, what happens when I decide to neglect what the Word of God says, when I decide to do things my own way, what I'm simply telling God is that my way is better than your way. I know that's plain and I know that's bold. I know that's in your face. But when I decide to do things which I know are against the Word of God, I am simply telling God my way is better. I know how to do things better than you know how to do things. No, we wouldn't get too many people shouting, because we all live in that reality. We all find ourselves at times deciding to do things our own way. We all make decisions without going to God in prayer and saying, Lord, how do I decide? What decisions do I make? Well, it's just a little simple decision. Do I realize that simple decisions sometimes have some catastrophic effects? And I need to bring those decisions before God and say, God, how do you feel about it? Because one thing I've come to know in my walking relationship with you, whichever way you lead me, it always works out better. Whichever way you direct me, it always works out better. I may not see the wisdom of it right off, but guess what? Just a little bit of fear of the Lord is better. See, it goes on to say in verse 12 that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be slothful. Don't be sluggish. Don't be dull. Don't be lazy. Don't be slothful. You just do what the Word of God says through faith and patience, and guess what? You'll inherit the promises. And they're better. They're better. The more faith and patience I have, the more investment is made in better things. Faith and patience are the currency of the Spirit that are investing in better things. Faith and patience. Listen, understand your pastor. Faith and patience. We live in an impatient world. Give it to me now. I got to have fulfillment and satisfaction right now. I got to have what I need and what I want right now. And we forsake the future that God has for us in our impatience because we spend it now instead of taking the currency of the Spirit of faith and patience and investing in what God has for me. How many relationships have been shipwrecked because they decided to do things their way? How many individuals have failed in business because they decided they knew how to handle it better than God? How many people, I'm sad to say, realize at this point it's not better when they do it their way? So I rise on this Sunday morning to simply try to convince a congregation. I know I'm fully persuaded that many among us feel this way, but if not, I simply rise and come to the pulpit this morning to try to persuade some people that God's way is a better way, that doing things according to the Word of God is going to work out better in the long run. You don't have to have it now. You don't have to be satisfied now, because your satisfaction now will forsake complete fulfillment later on. Because God's way is simply better. So don't be slothful. Don't be sluggish. Don't be dull. Don't be lazy. But through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. For the promises of God are yea. And in Him, amen. True. So be it. God is not slack concerning His promises. Whew. Simply put, the reason why people don't serve God is that they are not persuaded that it's better. Psalms 118 and 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 16, 8 says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Conclusion, I turn your attention Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Listen to this next verse. I've read this verse many times, but it never occurred to me what this verse was really saying. Hebrews 11:35. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Dead raised to life again. And then it says this. It just doesn't seem to fit. And others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. It doesn't even seem like you can put them in the same area with one another. Women receiving their dead raised to life again. Others being tortured, not accepting deliverance. It doesn't. But then the last part is what really ties it in and makes us understand. For those that were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Oh, I doubt there's anybody that would even look, even somebody who's not God-fearing or looking at the Word of God, I doubt anybody would say that a woman receiving her dead raised to life again would be anything other than miraculous and glorious. Man, that's got to be the best. That's got to be awesome. What mother doesn't have a part of her die when a child passes from this life? And then to have that child raised to life again, wow, that's pretty miraculous. That's pretty special. But then he puts it in the same verse, the same paragraph, if you will. Others were tortured, but they didn't accept deliverance. They were being tortured. Fox's Book of Martyrs tell about people who are burned at the stake and praising God and smiling and singing. To catch the phrase that they might obtain a better resurrection. See, in our mind, in our concept, it doesn't make sense that a woman who has her dead raised to life again, there's anything better than that, but those who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, says, oh yes, there's something, there's a better resurrection. There's a better resurrection than a resurrection back into this life. There's a better resurrection when you're resurrected into the life to come. That's why the Bible makes statements that on the surface seem somewhat absurd. Better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of a saint. Precious. For us, you see, God doesn't see as we see. His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. As high as heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways. See, His thoughts are better. There's a better resurrection than a woman who has her dead raised to life again. There's a resurrection that those who were being tortured, that they didn't accept deliverance because they had hope for a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you. That doesn't sound like a resume I want. That really doesn't appeal to me. I don't know anybody here that's jumping at the thought of being sawn asunder. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented. But then there's this parenthetical phrase. Verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Here it is. Verse 11, verse 40 of chapter 11. God having provided some better thing for us. That they without us should not be made perfect. I'm closing, you can stand to your feet. No, it's not always easy, but it's better. Sometimes it's, I feel destitute and afflicted and tormented, but I'm fully persuaded that it's still better. Sometimes I hurt. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I contemplate. I'm just going to be honest with you, Pastor, but I come and get in the presence of God, and once again, I'm persuaded that it's still better. I would to God that those who started out on this journey didn't detour, that all were still walking this walk, that some were not laid waste by the enemy, convinced of something better as they detoured off the path that God placed before them. But as for me and my house, I want you to know I'm still persuaded that this is better. Please understand my heart in this. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being prideful. I realize there's a lot of things in life that I could do. God has blessed me, and I know that I have giftings, and I know I have abilities, but you need to understand there's nothing better that I could use what God has given me than to do exactly what I'm doing, than to minister. Why? Because God is not unrighteous, that He does not notice the labor of love and the work. And guess what? I'm persuaded that it's not only better now, but it's going to be better in the life to come. So I keep pressing toward the mark, because there's things better. If you're here this morning and you're contemplating, you're thinking, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know. I'm struggling with the reality of where I'm at in life, and I need some guidance. You need to know, on the authority of God's word, you need to know the Spirit speaks expressly this morning. This is better. There's none. There's nothing out there. It is better than the power and the presence of God. There is no drug. There is no relationship. There is no fulfillment. There is no possession. There is nothing in this world that even comes close to our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is simply and unequivocally better. So we lift our hands in appreciation of better.
Fill us with your fire.
I want more of you, Jesus, because it's better when I have more of you. I want more of your power because it's better. I make better decisions. I do things better. I treat people better. I am a better person because of you. I need more of you. I'm persuaded of better things.
Will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire.
These altars are open if there are those who would like to come and pray and say, God, help me if I waver in my mind, if I think about taking another road and diverting off the path that you have placed me upon. Let this message come racing to my mind. Let me realize there is nothing better. I am doing what you have called me to do, and I am persuaded of better things.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, healing visitation. Nothing else will do.
I can't go back and change some things. No, you may not go back and change, but guess what? You can redeem the time. You can start on this day and say, wait a second, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to go about it a better way. I'm going to follow the word of God. It's better.
Fill us with your power. Lord, I need the revelation.
Lord, I need the revelation that you're better. I need the revelation that how you prescribe things is better.
Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you.
Simply better.
We have had enough of getting everything we want. We are weary of living this life just for us. Oh, forgive us of seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this place. Holy your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, healing visitation, nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Have given us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. So God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father, this is what we're living for. Your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, healing visitation, nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more, all the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. Oh, the blood that makes us spotless bright. Oh, the love that covers us. Oh, the Savior's mercy. Oh, the blood that makes us spotless bright. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. We want more and more and more and more of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Always astounds me how that we we're sick, we're not doing well, we have a problem, maybe something that needs attention, we'll go and sit down in a doctor's office. And he'll ask us just about any question he wants, and we'll give him the answer. Tell him what we're dealing with, going through. And the reason why we do that is because we're convinced, we're persuaded that once we go, it'll be better. Treat the illness. Give me a prescription, and I'll take that prescription to the pharmacy, and I'll get the medication, and it'll make me better. Can we not have that same simple faith when it comes to God? What's your prescription, God? Here's my issue. Here's where I need help. What do you prescribe? You are the great physician. You know the treatment. And with you, it's never guesswork, God. You know exactly what we have need of before we ask or even think. You have the right prescription, and what you offer is better. One more time, can we lift our hands? Thank you, Jesus. Help us collectively as a body of believers to believe, to be persuaded of better things. No matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, Lord, let us be persuaded in our own minds. The power of your word is still better with you. It's still better to do things the way you say do them. I will never go wrong going about it the Bible way. It's always, always, always better. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. You're the body of precious people, God. We love you. We thank you. The opportunity, let us, God, once again reunite. God, come back this evening for a time, expecting for better things, believing for better things, for more of you, so that we can be better. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. May go in the precious name of Jesus.